and welcome to the third episode of Season 9 of the Dark Money Files, in which we shine a light into a murky world. I am Ray Blake, and with me is my co-host, friend, and business partner, Graham Barrow. Hello, Graham.
Hello, Ray.
Now, we've promised a look at synthetic data this time, haven't we, Graham?
We have, Ray. Synthetic data. It's a bit like the Tinder swindler, isn't it?
Oh, dear. No, Graham. Data as in D-A-T-A, not D-A-T-E-R. Oh. We will be keeping the sin out of synthetic on this occasion.
Oh, Ray, you are just no fun. But, of course, we want to get this out while the FCA synthetic data consultation is still open, to be serious for a minute, because we want to give people who may not have known about it the chance to engage. And, Ray, while we're at it, there is one bit of data associated with this episode that isn't synthetic.
Oh, what's that, Graham?
This is our 100th episode, Ray.
God, blimey. Do you think we'll get a telegram from the Queen?
I think she's a bit busy this week, Ray.
Shame. Now, let's start at the beginning, Graham, shall we? What do we actually mean by synthetic data?
Well, at a simple level, it is just data that we create. I mean, most data is gathered, not created. That's what makes it real data. It's the non-fiction section of our data library.
Whereas what we create from our imagination is the fiction section, of course.
Quite so. But famously, Ray, there is no shortage of data. Financial institutions gather and store huge swathes of real data, and more of it is added all the time. So why do we need to make stuff up as well?
Well, there are things we can do with synthetic data that we can't with real data, or that aren't that easy to do, at least. Today, we'll explore some of those ideas.
Ooh, and it seems like the FCA is on board with this idea because they're consulting the industry on the subject in a paper entitled, quite snappily, Synthetic Data to Support Financial Services Innovation.
Which, as titles go, comes across as fairly positive, I'd say, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, maybe not snappy, but definitely positive. but what sort of innovation are they thinking of here, Ray?
Well, perhaps, Graham, the clue comes in the department to which the paper asks responses to be forwarded. It's called RegTech and Advanced Analytics Innovation.
Gotcha. So this sits very much in our world, then.
I'd say so. And the regulator, in its introduction, makes a powerful case for exploring synthetic data's use, noting in particular the benefit of using synthetic data in simulating real data without invoking data protection obligations, such as GDPR. And the idea is that synthetic data is created by observing patterns and the statistical properties of real data, and using algorithms to replicate these patterns, making a realistic, but crucially, anonymized replica of the real data.
Oh, and if you can do that well, the artificial, in quotes, data sets you end up with can be shared for a wide range of uses. So, what's the ask from the FCA here, Ray? What do they want input on?
They say they're looking to make sure they understand different market participants' views on the extent to which synthetic data can expand data access and data sharing opportunities in the market. They also want to evaluate the maturity of synthetic data usage within financial services and how far regulated and unregulated firms are currently using it. They say they're also interested in what the industry sees as the role of the regulator in all this.
Oh, well, fair enough. And who are they hoping will respond?
They expect to hear from academics, established regulated firms, startup firms, regtechs and fintechs, technology firms, regulators, and policymaking bodies.
Aha. And podcasters, Ray?
Well, they certainly don't rule it out, Graham. Anyone who wants to contribute has until the 22nd of June to respond to the questions listed in the paper. We thought it was a good time to look at some of the background concepts and encourage people to get involved and respond to the call for input.
Definitely. I think that's really important. Now, the paper links synthetic data very closely with artificial intelligence, specifically machine learning, doesn't it? Why is that?
Well, they note that in a joint survey by the Bank of England and the FCA in 2019, 67% of regulated firms said they're using machine learning in live production environments. Other industry surveys say that industry business leaders overwhelmingly see AI as important to their company's future success and believe it confers competitive advantage.
Okay, I get all that, but what's the need for synthetic data in that case?
The paper notes that to develop AI and machine learning solutions, it's necessary to have a large body of high-quality data to develop and implement these strategies. That means that innovation and competition could be stifled if it's so hard for new participants without access to that data to enter the market.
Ah, and if you're a reg tech firm looking to develop some AML technology, you can't do that if you can't develop and test using actual financial data that belongs to the institutions where you want to eventually deploy the tech.
Yeah.
But there are very good reasons why they don't want to give you access to that data.
Yeah. Catch 22. Innovation needs widespread access to large data sets, but the real ones are jealously guarded and not available to innovators.
Yeah, absolutely. Point made, I think. So how do you go about creating that data?
There are a number of approaches, and the FCA in the paper outlines some of them. Ultimately, there are two contrasting approaches in the main, and these will be familiar to anyone who's ever had to create a case study for training purposes. Either you take some real data, extract the underlying relationships from it, and then replicate the data relationships in new anonymous sets,
or you start from scratch and make it up.
Well, yeah. Or what the FCA calls process-driven methods, where you generate new data by mimicking the processes that formed the real data in the first place.
So you start from scratch and make it up.
Well, you're oversimplifying massively, Graham, but pretty much, yes.
thank you. And actually, both of these methods have their uses, don't they?
Well, yeah, but I mean, surely for verisimilitude, you can't beat the first way, can you, based on the real data itself?
Well, right, can I just say, first of all, that's just beautiful use of verisimilitude.
Well, thank you.
It's lovely. It's it's a lovely word. But secondly, there are a couple of things, I think, to think about. The first one is that if you're not really careful, you might create a synthetic data set that isn't as anonymized as you think it is.
Mm.
There might be ways for the data attributes to be connected to real data elsewhere, and then you could find yourself in big trouble.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And there are some sorts of data where there's really very little actual data to work from, like brand new payment methods or emerging crime typologies. So you really have to build those from the ground up.
Yeah, I see. So you need both approaches in your tool bag, really.
Oh, you need plenty in your tool bag. But whatever the method, you need some very effective tools to ensure the synthetic data you end up with is high quality, by which I mean it's indistinguishable from a real data set, while not allowing the extraction or derivation of any real personal information from the seed data.
Okay, so I think it's worth asking what these data sets could be used for, Graham.
Yes, and I think we can come up with several, although undoubtedly there will be more, and in part that's what the consultation wants to explore. But we can give some examples.
Where shall we start?
Well, in data sharing, I think. Mm-hmm. Currently, financial institutions have a really, really hard time sharing and pooling their data with that of other organisations. Whereas if they could, it might allow the detection more easily of otherwise unseen criminal typologies and schemes at an early stage.
Mm.
And if I can share the footprints, as it were, of a new criminal typology that I found in my bank with other banks, so they can look for it for themselves, I think the benefits are obvious.
But you can't do this using your real data sets for very good reasons around data privacy. But if you could instead share a data set that's very similar to your real data, synthetic data could let you have the benefits of this sharing and pooling without giving you the data privacy jeopardy.
Yes, it could. And then there's the use of synthetic criminal transaction records.
Now, how would those be useful, Graham?
Well, one way would be to train your systems to detect particular typologies.
Okay, I can see that. It would help you build your rules and adjust your thresholds in transaction monitoring. What I think we called in one of our episodes, twiddling the knobs.
I think in the end, Ray, we decided to call that setting the dials.
Actually, I think you're right, and I remember why now. And actually, you would want to test your thresholds again and again, wouldn't you? Setting them quite low sometimes to make sure you know what sorts of things aren't generating alerts.
Yes, and that's where I think synthetic data could be really useful to an established firm.
How so?
Let's say that just to do your below-the-line testing, you reduce the large transactions threshold to something very low. Now, that might be a couple of thousand pounds or dollars or whatever in some cases.
Yeah, because you'd need to be comfortable that you weren't missing suspicious transactions down there that wouldn't normally alert because of your arbitrary minimum.
Exactly. But in doing that, suddenly you're going to generate a huge pile of alerts. Do you respond to all of them? Review every one of them?
Well, you'd need to have a very good reason for not doing so, I'd say.
Well, I agree, particularly if you're looking for stuff that you would otherwise have missed without the... Yeah, so it's a difficult argument, isn't it? Mm. But if instead you did that testing on synthetic data, the alerts aren't real. You haven't created yourself a transaction monitoring backlog, but instead you can do a review of the alerts on your own terms, knowing that you weren't in so doing overlooking any actual crime.
You've sold me that one, Graham.
Excellent. Excellent.
What else can we use synthetic criminal data for?
Well, you've spoken before, Ray, about the challenges for the MLRO of determining how effective your financial crime controls are, based only on what they detect. And while below-the-line testing on real data to an extent adds a dimension to this, it can't tell you how effective your tools are at detecting criminality that just isn't in your bank at all currently, but might be in the future.
Yeah, you're right. Being able to know I'm set to detect something that hasn't happened yet, but might at any time, would be really useful.
And you see, that is easily done with synthetic data.
Okay, so that's a few applications. Now, there are many more, but I'm keen to understand what the risks and limitations might be.
Well, then perhaps the section in the FCA paper called Risks and Limitations of Synthetic Data would be a place to start.
Well, yes.
So the first point they make is the conundrum that the more closely the synthetic data mimics real underlying data, the greater the risk it could be reverse engineered to reveal actual sensitive data.
Well, indeed, if the synthetic data tracks a real data set closely with the aim of verisimilitude, another 10 points for me there, there's a risk that particular statistical outliers in the data will be identifiable.
I don't know about 10 points. I reckon if we were playing Scrabble, mate, that would be about 170.
Oh, depends where you place it, Graham, as in all these things.
It's true of life generally, isn't it, Ray? Yeah, outliers are a problem more generally, aren't they, Ray? I mean, all data sets have outliers, but when you look to scale this data set up, outliers can give you problems.
Yeah, and if you're starting with real data, then that data may contain some element of bias as well. So you risk replicating or magnifying that and skewing your synthetic data accordingly.
And that is a real problem, isn't it? Right, when the data contains, for example, criminal transactions.
Well, it is, because they're so rare in normal real data sets, like a needle in a haystack, but a really, really important needle. Getting a haystack big enough to have multiple needles, enough to be statistically significant and eliminate bias, is asking an awful lot.
So how do you solve that problem?
Well, I don't know of anyone that knows definitively. But I guess a mixture of data pooling to get more data in the seed set, both legitimate and criminal, is part of the answer. And then maybe introducing some designed rather than derived data to supplement it, which has its own dangers of bias, of course.
Yes, and underlying all of this is the problem of access to real data from which to generate a synthetic set in the first place.
Well, indeed. But I expect to see innovative approaches coming along to meet all of these challenges. And of course, this consultation is part of that process.
I agree. But what practical part can the regulator play in developing this, Ray?
Well, they cover this in the paper, Graham, and lay out a few possibilities they'd like opinions on. They might act in the role of data generator, for instance, working collaboratively with the experts that they've got existing arrangements with in this space. Mm-hmm. They might act as a central hosting platform for data sets to be shared in the industry, or they might just be a coordinating body to facilitate data sharing and synthetic data collaboration between partners directly, or any combination of that.
And all of that sounds extremely commonsensical, but it does rely on the industry's willingness to act in this way with the FCA, of course.
And the consultation seeks views on that.
Okay, so how can people read more and get involved, more to the point?
Yeah, so the FCA have published the paper, and we'll put a link in the episode description that will take you straight to it. You've got until the 22nd of June to get your response in, and the more input they get, the more traction we collectively get for what we think is the key anti-financial crime technology of the future.
And possibly the very near future indeed.
Oh, yes.
Well, what's next, Ray?
Well, for synthetic data, we'll revisit the subject when the FCA publishes the outcomes of the consultation, but that's going to be a while yet. In the meantime, I think we should start having a look at fraud.
Well, it seems like there's a lot of it about these days.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. ¶¶